This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks.
We all know school shootings can happen and have happened. As a journalist, I've reported too many times on tragic school violence here in Ohio and across the country. Schools like Columbine, Sandy Hook, and Virginia Tech. But what about the shootings closer to home? Case Western Reserve in 2003, Success Tech Academy in 2007, The Ohio State University in 2010, Chardon High School in 2012, Madison Local Schools in 2016, or West Liberty Salem in 2017.
That was a video produced and distributed by the Ohio Department of Public Safety and provided to educators in the state. Schools began implementing safety drills after the shooting at Columbine High School back in 1999. The practice has been growing, and now a report by leading gun control advocacy groups and the nation's two largest teacher unions is calling for changes, arguing that these drills can cause trauma to students and teachers. Locally, there are calls for change as well. During a drill at Cincinnati Public Schools in January, some teachers and students didn't hear the announcement that the lockdown was a drill. The incident led some teachers to speak out, calling for new protocol to prevent trauma to students and educators. So let's talk about that. Joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss school safety drills and how they are implemented here are Cincinnati Public Schools board member Mike Morosky. Mike, thanks for coming back in.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Michael.
We also have with us Spencer Center School Counselor Tracy Redding. Tracy, thank you for being with us as well.
Thank you for having me.
And we have Ohio Students for Gun Legislation Executive Director Ethan Nichols. Ethan, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
If you want to join our conversation or if you want to share your experience, either as a student or as the parent of a student, as it relates to active shooter drills at your school, give us a call. 513-419-7100 is the number. You can email your questions or comments to talk@wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets and get some of those into the show as well. Mike, let's start with something that happened just last week. Mere blocks from here at the School for the Creative and Performing Arts, there was this threatening message that was posted on Snapchat about a shootout. According to reporting from the Inquirer, the message read, quote, "Have your own weapons." When they showed up at the school on February 13th, it said to, quote, "be on time or get suspended," added a bunch of emojis. It also said, quote, an acronym for "be able to run." The fatties die first by natural selection. So, Mike, not long ago, we also saw teens arrested after three threats at Boone County Schools in Northern Kentucky. What do you think, as someone who's embedded in the education system, what the relationship is, if there is any, between students being exposed to these drills to prepare for gun violence and these threats that often, thankfully, turn out to be empty?
I personally think that we live in a country that does not value childhood or children. I personally believe and professionally believe that we live in a country that has systematized child abuse in the sense that we're raising generations of traumatized kids. To answer the question directly, I'm elected to the Cincinnati Public School Board, not the state legislature or the federal government. So I have been given a mandate for change from voters to affect change for kids positively where I can. So to that end, the way I think I can help as one voice with my six colleagues who also prioritize student safety, cutting down on trauma, is affecting how we administer these drills so that we're not adding to the trauma that these kids are seeing everywhere in their daily lives.
We saw another incident recently within the Cincinnati Public School District. Our Ambriel Crutchfield reported at WVXU, quote, on January 23rd, the Academy of Multilingual Immersion Studies school's principal made an announcement that everyone in the building was participating in an active shooter lockdown. Some teachers and students at that time said that they didn't hear that the lockdown was a drill. They began reacting to what they thought was an active shooter. And apparently this caused widespread panic throughout the building. And one teacher said that while she was in her classroom on the second floor, she questioned if fight or flight was the best option. She recalls, as Ambriel Crutchfield reported, her students were looking at her for direction on what to do. And her response was that they should run home. So, Mike, talk about what the district learned specifically about that incident and how it's responding.
So it's interesting how that happened. As policy chair for the district, as appointed by my colleagues, on our second policy committee meeting of the year, which was February 7th, 2020, the first agenda item was active shooter drills. When I was given the honor of serving as chair, one of the first things I wanted to talk about was how we administer these drills through policy. We have a school safety policy 8400, and in it, it doesn't necessarily list how we administer these drills. My concern was how we do them. We have to do them. It's a state legislative change to make us not do them. So again, doing what I can affect, I wanted to see uniformity in all the schools, i.e. robocalls go out to parents, letting them know the day before so they can talk about their kids. Principal makes sure they let everyone know it's a drill, and that's where I can tie it back in. So it just so happens this had been on the agenda. And then at AMI, the Academy of Multilingual Immersion Studies, there had been a drill that sounds like maybe it wasn't administered in the way that they're supposed to be. So right at present, the principals are told they have to make sure everyone knows it's a drill. And I think by and large, we do a good job with that. But at the same time, unless it is policy and uniform and we have a system of checks and balances, it's really hard to keep a hand on 65 buildings, 37,000 kids, a couple thousand employees. So it's unfortunate that happened. I do think by and large, they're probably administered the way they're supposed to be. But even in how they're administered the way they're supposed to be, we're still causing trauma unnecessarily, in my opinion.
513-419-7100 is the number to call if you'd like to join our conversation. Ethan Nichols is a student here in our area, and he is the executive director of Ohio Students for Gun Legislation. Ethan, before I dive into some questions about this topic with you, I understand that you're a homeschooled student. You're at the junior level, but you don't necessarily learn at home exclusively. You go somewhere. So can you help us understand what your educational situation is?
Yeah. So I am homeschooled legally, and I received my diploma from the Cincinnati Public School District. I still take classes in person at an educational program, a nonprofit called Leaves of Learning in Deerfield. And so we have still done lockdown scenarios. We had an instance last September where alarms triggered and it was not announced that we were doing a drill. We were in our history class, cowering behind our teacher's desk, a large oak desk, while he barricaded the door for about 20 to 25 minutes until we were alerted that it had been false alarm, a drill. And it really causes trauma among students.
You didn't know it was a drill?
No. No one did. No one.
Not even the teacher?
The teachers were not alerted. So I think to emphasize what Mike said, uniformity is very important here. Allowing parents to be able to talk about this sensitive issue with their students ahead of time, making sure teachers and students are aware of what's going on, allowing them to, you know, of the emotional maturity ahead of time going into it to know what's happening, to help prevent trauma ahead of time, even though at the present moment we can't eliminate these drills, which is, in my opinion, the end goal here. Having a uniformity across all district schools is the first step.
So you were going through this situation, Ethan, in your classroom where the door was being barricaded. You were cowering with other students because you thought somebody was in the building. Had you practiced drills prior to that day?
We had done some lockdown drills, yes, and okay. Practiced basic situations.
How did those opportunities, the experience of going through the drills, prepare you for what you thought was an actual event?
I don't think that the drills have properly prepared students at all. I think when you get into that moment of fear where you think that there is an active shooter, that you, this may be your last time where you're texting your parents, you know, I love you. I may not see you again. Texting your friends, seeing how they're doing, that's traumatizing. And whether or not it's a real active shooter or not, that experience alone is nothing that any student should have to go through. And the drills, while some argue that they prepare students for those situations, when your fight or flight response kicks in that moment, you're not going to remember what to do.
Okay. I've heard you say trauma. What do you mean by that?
Coming out of that situation, a lockdown drill, that causes a mental, psychological effects. You know, you're going through these, whether it be an actual active shooter scenario or it be a drill, a lockdown, active shooter drill, ALICE trainings, that's really – it's not something any student should have to go through, and it causes a psychological effect afterwards. Afterwards, it's scarring, to be honest, to be frank with you. A lot of students go through that. I've had friends who were at SCPA when the lockdown occurred, when they got these alarming social media posts. I've had friends go through active shooter situations in Fairfield. It's very traumatizing, and even if it's just a drill, especially with our media – starting to cover gun violence as more of a prevalent issue, you know, after Parkland, Sandy Hook, Santa Fe, Columbine even, students are more aware of that and having that knowledge that, you know, this is really something that could happen to us. It's pretty terrifying.
513-419-7100 is the number to call if you'd like to join our conversation here on Cincinnati Edition. Ethan, as you referenced, you know people at SCPA, where there was this recent Snapchat threat that caused some concern. You also represent Ohio Students for Gun Legislation. Your organization put out a full-page statement about the SCPA incident. Quote, "We are calling on Cincinnati Public School Board to review safety protocols and to immediately cease all active shooter drills, including ALICE training for students. These drills are traumatizing to both students and teachers and have no place in our schools." Can you talk a little bit about how your organization that fights for what you would consider to be better gun laws is related to the practice of active shooter drills in the education system?
Yeah, sure. So part of our mission, we are founded after the Parkland shooting in Florida in 2018. And we're a branch of a national organization in 5 states. And part of our mission, protecting students, protecting minority communities from gun violence, ending gun violence in the United States as we see it currently, is our end goal. But protecting students, whether it be through not arming teachers and staff, keeping guns out of schools, off campuses, and to protecting the mental health of students, it's all related. It's all related. In the meantime, in a legislature that is not necessarily friendly to our goals, it's important that we do what we can at a local level to address this. And that's why we have gotten involved in past school board races to make sure that we have the leaders representing us on the school board that will fight for students.
You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking about active shooter drills and whether they are traumatizing to students and to teachers as they are mandated by governments. In response to the number of school shootings that have happened across the country, we're joined today by Cincinnati Public School Board member Mike Morosky, Spencer Center School Counselor Tracy Redding, and Ohio Students for Gun Legislation Executive Director Ethan Nichols. 513-419-7100 is the number to call to join our conversation. Let's go to the phones now. We have Diana on the line. Hi, Diana.
Hi, how are you?
We're great. What's your question or comment today?
Well, so I was telling your I believe she's producer, whatever. And I was telling her, I actually have 2 children that are in Cincinnati Public Schools. And my daughter, she actually started at one elementary and we switched her to a different one. And I can say that the lack of uniformity when it comes to these drills, especially in CPS, is just astounding to me. And so I'm glad to hear that there's supposed to be uniformity, but it's clearly not being followed. So they are both now enrolled at North Avondale Montessori. We get the parents are told the day before whenever these drills are happening, which I really appreciate. And they also tell us to try to avoid coming on campus during these drills. And secondly, as a parent, and I hate to say it, but just a sign of the times, I'm actually really glad that they're doing these drills. I want my child to be prepared, and I hate that they have to be prepared. I think there are a lot of things that we can do, hopefully, to not make it a reality, but that's just where we're at right now. And also, I think nomenclature is very important when we're talking about the trauma that it can induce. My kids, they don't call these school shooter drills. They call them intruder drills, which is very different. I think it's also very age-appropriate. I've asked both of my kids, what happened during the drill? What did you do today? What did the teacher tell you? Make sure that they understand why we have to do it. And it makes it a little less scary, I think, too, when we're not using the word shooting. And maybe we call it different once they're in high school. But I think for my 2nd and 5th grader, I'm actually glad that they're doing it.
Diana, thank you so much for that perspective and for calling in. We appreciate it very much. 513-419-7100 is the number to call if you'd like to join us. Tracy Redding is a counselor at the Spencer Center School. Tracy, we are hearing words about trauma, and we heard our caller there talk about whether the word shooter should be included in this, and that in some instances, apparently, it is referred to as an intruder drill. As a counselor, what type of feedback are you getting from young people and their experiences post these drills?
Well, there's a balance, I think, from different students from different perspectives. Obviously, students with a high level of mental health issues, especially and particularly anxiety, can be made to feel, as Ethan described, extremely upset, extremely anxious, even while the drill is going on, even if they know it is a drill. I do believe as a school counselor, it is important that we prepare and practice these drills. But as Mike mentioned earlier, I think it's, and the color as well, I think there needs to be uniformity. And I do think it needs to be treated differently according to the age groups. I agree with the color, the different words that we use, the different presentation of the information, how serious and how realistic the drills are. The student preparation and the parent preparation is important to allow those students who do have high anxiety to prepare for it and address that. But I have also a perspective as a teacher. I'm a former teacher. I'm a parent of three, two of whom are in Cincinnati public schools as well. And the ALICE training that we receive as staff employees of the district really changed the way we address these things. After Columbine, it was basically huddle in a corner, and after Sandy Hook, obviously, with so many children being sitting there, and unfortunately being killed in that manner, the ALICE training, and I forgive me, I'm not quite sure what all the letters stand for, but it basically gives us choices. And as staff members, we're trained to make the decision on whether or not we stay, whether or not we keep our students in one place, whether or not we fight back, or whether or not we evacuate. That evacuating had never been an option presented to staff before. It was always stay in one place. And I think allowing that decision for the staff member to make based on where the intruder, as you mentioned, is located, can have a huge effect on the safety of the students in a real situation, and also feeling more comfortable when it happens. My other comment is with the practices. Being an urban school, and I know this is not the case for all schools, but being an urban school, we actually quite frequently practice these. Not just practice, but they're real. If anything is going on, and I've been at multiple schools across the city, anything that goes on in the neighborhood, we are either in a lock-in or a lockdown, depending on what's going on. So we might be, locked in where nobody can come in and out of the building, but we are free to move inside the building. Then it moves up a level to a lockdown where we do have to stay within a classroom until it has been cleared.
Are the students notified when that happens?
Typically, we don't always have information. I'll be honest, I was involved in one where the students, faster than I could, were on their phones trying to figure out what was going on, why we were locked in, or why we were locked down, depending on the situation, that they're more familiar with this. And I primarily work at the high school level. I am in a school right now that's 3 to 10. And that's one of the things I notice as well is, currently, I believe my principal does a lot to warn and provide as much background information as possible, sending out an email, following up with what happens. And she always sends an email if we are in a real lock-in or lockdown to explain to parents what happened. But I do think there needs to be a difference between a third grader in our building and a 10th grader experiencing the same lockdown procedure and practice that we go through.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Join us at 513-419-7100. I'm Michael Monks. We're joined today by Tracy Redding, a counselor at Spencer Center School. We have Cincinnati Public Schools Board of Education member Mike Morosky, and we also have the executive director of Ohio Students for Gun Legislation, Ethan Nichols. Mike, talk a little bit about the number of active shooter drills or intruder drills that schools within the Cincinnati system are supposed to have each year.
So we have to have three, active shooter drills each year. My ask to our general counsel on February 7th was how much autonomy we have in how we administer those drills. It turns out we have quite a bit, actually. So again, unfortunately, as the caller, the North Avondale Montessori parent intimated, unfortunately, this is kind of an era in which we live. And if we are serious as a people and a country about not raising kids in a traumatized manner, a whole lot of wheels need to turn at the same time, not just public education, not just state government, federal government, gun laws, a lot of things have to happen at once. So, I am proud to say that our schools are some of the safest in the state and the country. The Council of Great City Schools released a report on the large urban districts, and we were near the top in most metrics. The thing that's disappointing to me that I would like to highlight And the caller again referenced, you know, and I'm happy to hear that North Avondale is doing such a great job. And again, I think most of our schools do, but at the end of the day, a majority of our students are coming to us with two or more adverse childhood experiences or ACEs. We live in a city that has the second to fourth worst childhood poverty rate in the country. And I've had students look at me in the face and tell me they feel safer at our schools than anywhere else. And so when they come to school and they feel safe there and we make it feel as if it's not safe, that's a problem, at least to me. So anyway, I just wanted to put that out there. We do have safe schools and we do a good job, but I think we can do better for the majority of our students. Three drills a year, though.
And all students are expected to participate, whether they're in preschool, whether they are students with certain disabilities?
Oh, yeah. They're all required to participate. You know, I hear from friends of mine who are parents, new parents, kindergarten-aged children. My wife and I are going to be proud Cincinnati public school parents here pretty soon, you know, saying their kindergartner's coming home talking about how they got to pick up scissors and throw them at the intruder. And, you know, to echo Ethan Nichols from Students for Gun Legislation, Ohio Students for Gun Legislation, we need to prepare. Unfortunately, it's our world. We live in a country that values violence. That's a much larger conversation than we have in the couple minutes we have. But this is the natural byproduct of a country that rewards violence and greed. This is what happens. We have to administer these drills, but we're not preparing people. If somebody wants to do something, unfortunately, there's not a lot you can do. Now, I, as an elected person overseeing 37,000 kids' education, will tell you I'll do everything I can to make sure they are safe. And if this is part of it now and what we have to do, we have a responsibility to do it in the least traumatic way possible.
We got an email from a listener that says, quote, when I was in school in the 70s, we had drills for nuclear attacks. We were scared, but we adjusted. The key is to have conversations at home and at school. It seems these conversations aren't happening. I sympathize with the students, but these drills will make them stronger. Tracy Redding, a counselor within the Cincinnati Public School System. Tracy, what do you make of that remark that perhaps this will make kids stronger in the event of an actual active shooter situation?
Well, I think a drill and practicing is different than an actual realistic representation of what it's really like to have an intruder in the building. I agree that we need to have practice, but we don't set fires to, and I'm not taking these personal, these are not mine, I'm re-quoting other people. We don't set fires to practice a fire drill. We don't hire people to attack our children at the playground to teach them stranger danger. We can do these drills with a lot of safety in mind and preparing students in an appropriate way that doesn't also traumatize them. I mean, currently, a lot of the drills involve our student resource officers, police officers coming into the buildings and shaking doors and making sure doors are locked and things like that to make sure students are quiet. Again, age level matters. I think age level matters. I think you can get into more realistic incidences, but I don't know that it should be across the board. And I recognize that it's important, but I think the way that we do it matters.
We got a message from a caller named Francis who asked, why can't kids go through metal detectors? If they went through metal detectors, they wouldn't have to go through these, I suppose, in reference to active shooter drills. 513-419-7100 is the number to call. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Bob on the line. Hi, Bob. What's your question or comment?
My question, I have a twofold question and comment. One, there was an article in the Enquirer where the school boards told this student who was traumatized every time the principal got on the PA system and she heard the crackling. She had been through a school shooting in around Bethel, that area. And what is really astounding is the shooting was some time ago, and she still feels traumatized. And I want to know, I was really impressed about the one gentleman's comment about school boards and about the, you know, how we view our children, that we don't have a lot of concern about our children in real life, in reality, in our decade. And I want to know, that we have school boards, we have teachers, we have everybody who deals with our children. What are they doing as a group? That is a huge group of people. The PTA, his board, the people who administer, and we still hear our people like our representatives. It's like they don't even hear us, and they say that 71% of the people want stronger gun laws, so our kids can finally go to school and do what schools are supposed to do. I'd like to hear, what are the school boards doing about gun laws?
Okay, Bob, we do appreciate the call very much. Thank you so much. And I think we touched a little bit on this earlier in this segment. Mike Morosky, a member of the Cincinnati Public Schools Board of Education. What's your answer for Bob?
So to Bob, I would say what we have done, I mean, regarding gun legislation, we can support through resolution proposed gun legislation, but we don't make gun laws. We've been known to pass resolutions that say we oppose open carry in school buildings, for example. I would say on a more fundamental level, we've invested a lot more money in social-emotional learning in our curricula, our MindPeace partnerships, expanding to have a mental health counselor in every single building, two uniformed security guards in every single building, and positive behavior intervention support investment or PBIS work to make our schools kinder places. So we do a lot on our end that we can. And again, to him directly, though, as far as gun legislation, we've certainly passed resolutions that support better gun laws, et cetera. But real quick, if I may, to the woman who emailed about the metal detectors, all of our students in our high schools do walk through metal detectors every day. It's questionable whether or not those actually are effective, to be frank. But again, we're going to use the tools we have at our disposal to try to keep our kids safe.
Ethan Nichols is the executive director of Ohio Students for Gun Legislation. He's a junior homeschool student. Ethan, what do your peers think? This is anecdotal, of course, but when you're talking about this issue with people your age, what's the ideal scenario on the other side of this should reforms come that are more to your liking?
Yeah, there's a lot of passion around this issue among people my age, especially after Parkland. I think that really sparked some passion in a lot of young people, not just young people, but a lot, especially in young students, especially. We've seen the March for Our Lives student walkouts. I participated in both. Not all of my friends and classmates are politically engaged to the level that I am. There's a lot of passion surrounding this issue, and especially for banning assault weapons, background checks, red flag laws, not arming teachers. A lot of this has become very mainstreamed. And it's unfortunate that it's taken tragedies like Sandy Hook and Parkland to really spark this issue. But now that we've had those incidents, I think there's a lot of passion to prevent further incidents, and not just school shootings, inner city violence in places like Price Hill and Avondale. That's a big issue. Mental health. Suicides make up a large percentage of gun violence, and there's a lot of passion among this issue. And I don't think that young people are going to stop fighting for this issue anytime soon.
Okay, the American Federation of Teachers and the National Education Association and Everytown for Gun Safety recently released a white paper earlier this month. It's called The Impact of School Safety Drills for Active Shootings. It does include a lot of information, and it does include some recommendations as well. It does suggest that drills should not include simulations that mimic an actual incident, that parents should have advance notice of drills. They should be announced to students and educators prior to the start. And schools should create age and developmentally appropriate drill content with the involvement of school personnel, including school-based mental health professionals. Students should couple drills with trauma-informed approaches to address students' well-being. And the sixth recommendation is that data should be tracked about the efficacy and effects of the drills. I want to thank our guests for joining us today. We've been joined in the studio by Cincinnati Public Schools Board of Education member Mike Morosky, Spencer Center School Counselor Tracy Redding, and Ohio Students for Gun Legislation Executive Director Ethan Nichols. My apologies. Thanks to all of you for being with us for this conversation.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.